If you had to pick a city to live in, why not make it the most livable city on the planet? It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 27th day of June. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, it was a sketchy day on Wall Street. We'll share what that's all about. McDonald's is making it harder to own and then keep a restaurant. Some positive economic data to report today. Also, the price of gasoline is starting to come down. We'll share those numbers with you. The Roe opinion and a gay judge from Connecticut made the news. Russia defaulted on a debt payment. We've got the Wall Street Report and new news about air travel. And it is, well, not good. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training. To achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful that you are along for the ride again this evening. Thanks. Oh, by the way, you want to follow us on Twitter? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, if you're interested in living in what might be described as one of the most livable cities on the planet, you might want to start packing and head to either Europe or Canada. Because, according to this new report, there are none of those types of cities in the United States. CNN is reporting that The Economist ranked 173 cities around the world on a variety of factors, including healthcare, crime rates, political stability, infrastructure, and access to green space. So, where are these magical cities? Overall, Europe dominated the list with 6 spots in the top 11. There was a tie for 10th place. Copenhagen, which CNN Travel pronounced Europe's capital of cool in December of 2021, nabbed 2nd place on the Global Livability Index. Switzerland was the only country in Europe to have 2 entries in the top 10, with Geneva in 6th and Zurich landing in 3rd. However, the overall country winner was Canada. The Great White North had 3 of its cities represented: Calgary, Vancouver, and Toronto. So here's the list of the most livable cities on the planet if you're keeping track. Ready? Number 1 was Vienna, Austria. Number 2, Copenhagen, Denmark. Zurich, Switzerland. Calgary, Canada is number 4. In 5th spot is Vancouver, Canada. In 6th, Geneva, Switzerland. And then Frankfurt, Germany. Toronto, Canada. Amsterdam, Netherlands. And tied for 10th place, Osaka, Japan. And Melbourne, Australia. It was a relatively slow day on Wall Street. Before the open, contract futures indicated that all 3 major indexes would open in the green. But that was not to be. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 flirted with the flat line all day, and in the end, each finished in the red. Those numbers, I'll have those for you in just a bit. You know, customer satisfaction is a big deal. And getting bigger, it seems, at McDonald's. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that McDonald's executives recently informed the chain's franchisees that they will be required to undergo a rigorous review process every 20 years to keep their restaurants. All this according to an email to franchisees viewed by the Wall Street Journal. The burger chain will also now consider additional factors such as customer complaints to determine which franchisees can add new locations. The Wall Street Journal added that McDonald's would also require franchisee heirs to put up more cash to continue operations and designate a single family member as the operator. Currently, several heirs can take over a McDonald's location. McDonald's plans to implement the franchising changes in January of next year. These changes will affect about 95% of U.S. company restaurants. The goal? Well, the goal in all this is that McDonald's says they want to attract and retain the best operators for the brand. Wall Street struggled a bit, but it wasn't because of bad economic data. For example, U.S. durable goods orders rose by 0.7% in May versus forecasts of a 0.2% rise. And pending home sales rebounded last month, reversing a six-month decline. Meanwhile, the group of seven economic powers, that would be the G7, meet in Germany, where they have underscored their commitment to Ukraine for the long haul with plans to pursue a price cap on Russian oil. Speaking of oil, following months of higher gas prices, Americans saw a drop in prices over the past weekend. Heading into the weekend, the average price sat at $5.09 a gallon, but Sunday saw a 4-cent drop. The average U.S. price now sits at $5.05 a gallon. That's the first dip in 9 weeks. Diesel, meanwhile, continues to rise and now sits at $5.89 a gallon. Fuel industry analyst Tibby Lundberg told Transportation Topics News that the decrease was thanks to a drop in oil prices informed by fears over global inflation increases. The national average as of June 24 was $1.90 a gallon higher than the same date last year. The nation's highest price over the weekend was $6.39 per gallon in San Francisco, California, while the lowest was $4.39 a gallon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So it all matters where you live and where you buy gas. The rhetoric regarding Judge Clarence Thomas and his majority opinion gutting Roe v. Wade got a bit personal. CNBC is reporting that Connecticut Supreme Court Justice Andrew McDonald suggested that U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was being hypocritical in calling for the reconsideration of rulings ensuring legal rights for gay people. McDonald, who is gay, noted in a Facebook post that Thomas had not called for the repeal of a similar ruling that allows Thomas, who is black, to be married to a white woman, Jeannie Thomas, while living with her in Virginia. This is what the post said, quote, "Mr. Justice Thomas had much to say today about my loving marriage. Oddly, he didn't have much to say about his loving marriage," end quote. Loving, of course, is the Supreme Court decision that allowed black individuals to marry white individuals. Decades old, by the way. Thomas, in a concurring opinion on the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the federal abortion rights decision, suggested cases affecting gay rights and rights to birth control, likewise, should be tossed. Well, the sanctions may be having an impact on Russia. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Russia has defaulted on its foreign debt for the first time since 1918, pushing into delinquency not for lack of money, but because of punishing Western sanctions over its invasion of Ukraine. Russia missed payments on two foreign currency bonds as of late Sunday. That's according to holders of the bonds. The day marks the expiration of a 30-day grace period since the country was due to pay the equivalent of $100 million. The default has long been incoming since the West all but unplugged Russia from the global financial system, creating payment obstacles that Moscow could not overcome. It wasn't expected to cause any immediate ripple effects in markets or in Russia's economy. Russian bonds have been traded for pennies on the dollar since the days after the invasion, a sign that investors believed default was probable. Russia last failed to pay its foreign borrowing during the Bolshevik Revolution when then Vladimir Lenin, the newly installed communist leader, repudiated the debt of the entire Russian Empire. Well, it was not a good day on Wall Street, but it could have been worse. The Dow ended the day down by 62 points to close at 31,438, while the Nasdaq shed 83 points to end the session 11,524, and the S&P 500 was off by 11 points to close at 3,900 even. There was early speculation that the rally of last week might continue today, only to be dashed as the session continued. Even in light of some positive economic data, traders continue to be risk-averse. And finally, there is this. Air travel is getting sketchy, I mean really sketchy, when you combine price and use. Traveling by air is hitting new heights not seen since before the pandemic, says the Wall Street Journal, despite tickets costing nearly double their 2019 price. The number of passengers this past Friday hit its highest level since February of 2020. But pilot shortages, fewer flying options, and canceled and delayed flights are causing misery for many. More than 700 U.S. flights were canceled early Monday, to add to the more than 860 cancellations on Sunday. Travel booking app Hopper told the Journal that average round-trip domestic airfares for the upcoming holiday weekend are up 45% from 2019 to an average of $437. Pilot shortages and skyrocketing fuel prices have forced carriers to cut flights, some by as much as 15%, one trade group has reported. Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg pressed airlines to be more realistic about their summer operations. Soon thereafter, he had a flight canceled. Even Pete. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby, wishing you a great Monday evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.